you're the one. Brings a cloud to your eye. Every moment you smile, rain lets up for a while. Sun starts clearing your sky.
Grace of my heart. It was only out here for a short amount of time. Did it do anything much in the States when it was shown?
No, it bombed. Yeah, totally bombed.
Just quickly, we'll backtrack because Take a Run at the Sun, which is the single taken or one of the songs that you wrote for the film, you actually had to write as a character in the film, didn't you?
Yeah, supposed to be like a Brian Wilson type character. So the songs are supposed to sound like the Beach Boys.
How did you find that experience or that challenge of trying to get inside the head of Brian Wilson and write like the Beach Boys?
It's fun. It's a lot easier because, you know, you have a goal in mind and something in mind, so it's more of a, it's a lot easier for me to do that, write for somebody else and write for some purpose rather than just try to pull a song out of the air, you know. Writing a song on my own, there's, you know, no real purpose to it or could come from anywhere. There's no, yeah.
Yeah, the playing field is totally wide open.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Matt Dillon was the character that had to pretend that he was writing the stuff that you came up with.
Right.
And singing it as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How did he do lip-syncing?
It was pretty funny because he was, in the movie, he's lip-syncing also because he's on a TV show and they're playing cardboard or sand guitars on the beach. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I'm in the movie too.
You are? What do you do in the film?
I'm Matt Dillon's engineer for all his, throughout the years for his studio projects. is much where, like, where you're sitting behind the board, you know, twiddling the knobs. And then, you know, between takes, Matt Dillon would still be in his character and start talking to me like, you know, I'm the engineer, and like, I just couldn't handle it. You know, I was like, hey, man, I'm not an actor. Don't pull this crap on me. I would just let go. Whatever, man.
And what did he say?
He was still in character, you know, so I would just walk away. Walk away.
The J-Files.
Once again, another moment taken from the new solo album by Jay Maskus, Jay Maskus and the Fog. The new album is called More Light, and that track, Where'd You Go? And before that, Jay and a piece that he did for the soundtrack to Grace of My Heart in 1996, Take a Run at the Sun. 4 years before that, he also worked with director Alison Anders on the soundtrack to her film of that year, Gas Food Lodging. We'll take a piece from that soundtrack album later on tonight on the Jay Maskus J-Files. Now, Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth came into Triple J years ago, and I got her to do a high five songs that changed her life, and she selected the second album by Dinosaur Jr., You're Living All Over Me, so we'll get to a track off that in just a moment. But also, Sonic Youth and Dinosaur Jr. were very close during the early part of Dinosaur Jr.'s career. Their first major tour around the States was actually supporting Sonic Youth. Sonic Youth were absolutely blown away by the debut album by Dinosaur Jr., and Jay appeared for a while there on quite a few of the Sonic Youth albums, doing guest guitars and also backing vocals as well. And so when I caught up with Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth, I asked her how well she thought she knew Jay Maskus.
I've known him for a while. I don't know how well I know him. You know, it's kind of
Why, is he fairly secluded? Is he fairly introverted?
I think maybe it's partly shyness, but I think it's also... I mean, I wouldn't say it's arrogance, but, you know, when you do interviews, a lot of times people ask you really stupid questions. And also questions that, you know, if you weren't promoting your record, you wouldn't really care to answer.
Well, okay, enough talking about Dinosaur Jr. We're going to go back, not to this new record, we're going to go back further.
It's their second record.
It's their second record, is it?
I don't know, I just remember thinking it was really, you know, the songs were amazingly great.
Was it different? Did you feel it was different for the time?
Yeah, I guess it was sort of different. No one was really, you know, it had been a while since Husker Du were kind of broken up, and so no one was heavily doing the guitar thing like that. But, they hadn't really figured out what they were yet as a band. Like, they were, the record was much more inconsistent than Bug, or, you know, that came afterwards. And so sometimes that's the most interesting period in a band, when they haven't yet become consistent.
J-Files. Can't believe it, or can it just be cool and free?
I think I'll kill you. Just don't let me fuck up, will you? 'Cause when I need a friend, it's still you.
J-Files, Jay Maskus talks about his love of golf, but right there, we had to play it, didn't we? Their single, their legendary single from 1988, Freak Scene, and before that, a track from their second album, You're Living All Over Me, that track, Little Furry Things, and that was Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth speaking back there as well, years ago when she came into the station, around about 91, 92, I think it was. Now, Freak Scene, when we held Hottest 100s in 1990 and 1991, we held them for Hottest 100s of all time, not just for the songs of those years, and that track, Freak Scene by Dinosaur Jr., came in 1990 at position number 74, and then it slid back five spots to number 79 when we did another all-time poll in 91. Freak Scene really is a standout track for the band. As I said before, it came out in 1988, and by that stage of the band's career, they had signed an independent deal with a record company in the UK, and that single ended up topping the indie charts for that year in the UK, and they were the next big thing to tour over there as well. The first shows which they did in England and also in Europe, they were playing initially supporting Primal Scream, and this is a quote from Jay. He says of that first tour to the UK, he says, "We were all freaked out the first time we went to England. It was strange because we met all the hipsters and we couldn't figure out why they'd come to see some band from Amherst. We really had no idea why they were there. It was baffling." Okay, the story of why Dinosaur Jr. ended really isn't all that interesting. I guess it was just it had run its course. Seven albums. 1997 saw the release of Handed Over. There were record company problems, so Jay just essentially decided it was time to go out solo. Right now on Triple J, we'll take a track from that final Dinosaur Jr. album. This track is called Nothing's Going On.
Yeah.
also a net request tonight for Bud Thirsty, who's out there playing on the internet and also listening to the J-Files. Nothing's Going On, great moment from the final Dinosaur Jr. album, Handed Over, which came out in 97. And Dinosaur Jr. also made their last visit to Australia in that year to tour that album. And I got to speak to Jay fairly early on that Australian visit, and I soon found out that one of the easiest things to talk to Jay Maskus about is his love of golf. Have you managed to squeeze in any golf, though, while you've been here?
Oh, yeah. The last 3 days I've played.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you weren't hit by jet lag or anything? You got straight out there on the golf course?
Well, the good thing about the jet lag is I was waking up at 5 in the morning, which... So I was up at a good time for golf.
Have you always played? I mean, were you an avid golfer when you were a kid?
I played from when I was about 5 till I was 9, and then I stopped till I was about 26. I started playing again. Kind of gave it up for baseball, which I regret now. You know, I couldn't really deal with playing though when I was really little. I mean, my mom and my grandma were really into it, and I was would get too frustrated as a kid trying to play.
Were you any good when you were young, or was it too early to tell?
Too early to tell. But so, I won the club championship because there was no one else in my age group. I played a guy from then like 11 to 14. We both got trophies anyway, because there's no one else opposing us.
Okay. So a bit of a hollow victory, but still a victory.
Well, I beat him, so.
Yeah. And what do you like now? Are you a good player, do you think?
No.
Why do you like it then?
I don't know. I'm totally into it. I mean, it doesn't... I mean, no matter how good you were, you'd always want to be better anyway. So if you like playing, it's not like if you're good that will... You know, you're still people going to be better than you. It's all, you know, your mental attitude, whatever, however good you're playing.
Are you up to the stage where you have a handicap?
I could. I haven't really bothered because our course is too easy anyway. So if you get a handicap there, like, doesn't really translate because, you know, I would probably have like a 25 at a normal, like a hard course, and I'd probably have like a 12 at my course.
Okay, that's great. Are you going to fit in much more while you're here this time around?
Probably. It's an easy country to golf in, Australia. Yeah.
So long as you don't. I mean, as you were saying before, the private and the expensive golf courses are often the restricted ones, but they're the best ones to play on. But it's just a shame.
Yeah,
you can't
but
get
I'd
on.
Rather play like the crappy ones if there's attitude involved.
Yes,
you don't have a good time then. Like I played in Scotland, and I understood why people hated golf. Like, it was so elitist, and no one on the whole course had a smile on their face, and it was just totally unpleasant, the whole scene. Because in Europe, a lot of people don't play golf because it is really elitist, but here's the only other country that it seems like white trash people play, you know, here in New Zealand and the States. You know, anybody can play golf, but, you know, other countries, it's pretty elitist.
The J-Files.
halfway point of tonight's J-Files, looking at the work of Jay Maskus and that track, Feel the Pain, the big single from the album Without a Sound. And that was the single which also had that fantastic Dinosaur Jr. film clip where Jay is playing golf from one building top to another. Very clever clip as well, which they did in their career. Well, all the band members are coming out of the woodwork. Joining us right now on the J-Files is Carolyn Polly, who plays with Big Heavy Stuff. Hello, Polly.
Hi, Richard. How are you going?
Not too bad. How's yourself?
I'm very well. A bit cold up here in the Blue Mountains.
I bet you are, but I'm sure the music of Dinosaur Jr. is warming up the household no end.
Totally. I had to ring in.
What did you want to say?
Well, basically, just listening to it all, it just takes me back, because I think I'm about the same age as Jay, actually, so that's sad that is. But
he was born in 65.
Yeah, well, I'm 66, so there you go. But I remember back to those times and being the post-punk era, listening to Jay and Dinosaur Jr., it just sort of embodied the spirit of Neil Young again. And it was just so fantastic as a young guitarist, myself, to hear someone soloing and doing all these things that you weren't allowed to do in those times, you know.
Do you reckon that directly came from the influence of someone like Neil Young?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, I always used to talk to Greg and I. I mean, we're just massive fans of Dinosaur Jr. and always have been. We've got all their records and we just kept saying, you know, this guy is like the bastard son of Neil Young, you know, Crazy Horse. He is. He's just, you know, he's just fantastic.
The feedback, the distortion, the guitar sound certainly would have picked up a lot of inspiration from Neil Young. I actually asked him when I first spoke to Jay when, I think it was about 91 or something, it was years ago anyway, and I actually posed that question to him about the similarities, and he says, that's just the way I sound, I can't help it, but I, you know, he agreed, he did sound as well in voice a little like Neil Young too.
Well, I don't think that it's not a plagiarist thing. It's just it's a soul thing, you know. You know, it's as a young musician, you always sort of you're inspired by somebody, you know. And it's not necessarily when I grow up, I want to be Elvis Presley or I want to be this or I want to be that. But you know, Neil Young is a very heartfelt, you know, rock and roller, and I think Jay is too. There's lots of beauty and there's lots of, you know, hardcore in there. So it's a mixture of both.
Yeah, well, I actually see it as being a bit of a cross between Sonic Youth and Neil Young as well, the early days of Dinosaur Jr. But then I think Jay's just sort of created a niche or created a sound that's very much kind of, I don't know, his own territory now. He's just sort of going down a certain path. But tell me, you've seen them a fair few times when they've come to Australia. You actually saw them on their first visit about 10 years ago?
Yeah, I did.
What do you remember from that little...
Well, I was pregnant at the time and I really had to walk out of the Cardoma Cafe because I felt violently ill because of the noise.
I remember, yeah, I was just comparing off air because I went and saw one of the shows in Sydney at the Paddington Town Hall and it was incredibly loud, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we actually played with them, Big Heavy Stuff and Magic Dirt, in 95 at Salinas in Sydney, and they were awesomely loud that night too. It was like, oh, it was just unbelievable. And in a way, you know, I just think good on them too, because a lot of people get the shits with that sort of guitar volume, but I love it, quite frankly.
I think he's just getting deafer and deafer and deafer, and he needs to keep on turning it up so he can hear what he's doing.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm the same.
Did you get to talk to him at all on that tour?
No, because he just keeps to himself. He's a really quiet guy, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one little bit. Anyway, we should press on, Polly. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, Rich.
See ya.
Bye. From years ago,
The J Files.
That's pretty much how it ends. In 1989, Dinosaur Jr. doing their version of The Cure's Just Like Heaven came out as a 7-inch single in that year. And before that, in 1992, once again in the BBC studios, that's where that version of Keeblin came from. Now, the tour dates, Jay Maskus, as I said before, this J-Files tonight pretty much coincides with the fact that Jay Maskus and The Fog are going to be touring Australia starting the end of next week, Friday the 23rd at the Corner Hotel in Melbourne, the first of two shows, so they're playing there the Friday and Saturday night. Also, they're playing in Adelaide at the University Bar there on Sunday the 25th, Wednesday the 28th of February at the Bizzo's Club in Caring Bar. Then they're playing at Newcastle University on the 1st of March, the 2nd of March, a Friday night at the Metro in Sydney, and then they're playing in Brisbane on the 3rd of March, a Saturday night at the Waterloo Tavern. They're the dates that I've got at the moment. Some may change in terms of like additional dates in certain venues or in certain cities, but that's the core dates and places where Jay Maskus and his band The Fog are going to be playing at the end of next week. Right now, I'm going to take you back to Alive at the Wireless, which we recorded on the 10th of April in 1995 at the Palace in Melbourne. This is Dinosaur Jr. and a great version of Cracked.
my name is Phil Mazzella and I'm calling from Perth. And my favourite Dinosaur Jr. song is Start Chopping from the Where You Been album. The first time I saw Dinosaur Jr. was the 4th of April 1995 at Fremantle Metropolis. I remember it well because I had glandular fever at the time, but there was no way I was going to miss them. And I was glad I didn't because it was a truly amazing show.
Oh, there's no going back to that. I so numb can't even react. Didn't say it's not okay, but we are dealing the same way. The last thing on my mind. Still you won't let
absolute fave for Triple J listeners. Star Choppin' There from the Where You Been album. And before that, recorded live by Triple J in April of 1995 at the Palace in Melbourne. That version of Cracked we played tonight for Chris in Sydney, who saw them on that tour. Grant also saw Dinosaur Jr. a couple of times, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw him up at Livid Festival. I think it was 97
it would have been.
Queensland, yeah. And that was a brilliant show. They played Just Like Heaven, Cure cover. It was quite interesting without Lou. I don't know, I'd like to say it was better.
Well, did you actually get to see Dinosaur Jr. when Lou was still in the band?
No, I didn't, but just from what I've heard, I've got the single, and just the comparison, it was much better.
Yeah, well, the lineup would have completely changed quite a few times between Lou leaving and the lineup that you would have seen in 97.
Yeah,
was that when the Livid Festival had moved to the Great Big Showgrounds, or was it still at Davies Park?
No, it was at the Showgrounds, yeah.
It was at the Showgrounds. So that was a good performance, and when else did you see them?
I saw them at the Newtown RSL about a year or so ago.
Oh, was this just when Jay came out himself?
Yeah, well, it was Jay, yeah. It was fantastic. It was a really intimate show.
Describe it, because I missed that tour.
Well, he did like a Martin and Me sort of acoustic set, but he added a lot of distortion. He had a pedal. He was just playing like a semi-acoustic, but putting in lots of reverb and distortion. It was brilliant.
So it wasn't very laid-back acoustic. He could crank it up as well if he wanted to?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And what sort of stuff was he doing on stage? What sort of material?
I don't think he was doing any of the new stuff from The Fog. He mentioned the new album coming out. He was just doing a lot of old stuff. I think he played Repulsion and just a few of the old great songs, like
So real oldies.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing he's always done with Dinosaur Jr. He's sort of, you know how some people just move from album to album when they tour?
Play a completely different set every time, sort of thing?
Well, you know, they just keep on moving with a new album every time they tour and they sort of ignore the old stuff, but Jay doesn't seem to be like that. He seems to continue to sort of keep the old favourites in the set lists.
Yeah. That movie, by the way, Grace of My Heart, I thought that was really... really underestimated. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, as he said before, it completely flopped in the States. I didn't think it was that bad a film either.
I think it was just due to lack of media sensationalism and hype.
Just got lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny to see him.
Little Trouble Girl was a really good song in that movie as well, the Kim Deal and Sonic Youth song.
Which track?
Little Trouble Girl, the one off Washing Machine. It's like Kim Deal from...
Oh, from the soundtrack itself.
Yeah.
Right, okay, from the Grace of My Heart soundtrack itself. I've not actually had a chance to hear much more than just the... I can't even see it on the back of the album here.
I think all
I've heard is just the Jay Maskus tracks on here.
Yeah, it's also on Washing Machine, so...
Oh, it's on the Washing Machine album.
Yeah, but I think it might be on the score or the soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, not on the copy I've got in front of me, but you want to actually hear the other Jay Maskus track, which came from the soundtrack.
Yeah, don't you think it's time? It's brilliant. I'd like to dedicate it to Holly and all my friends.
All right, we'll play it for you in just a matter of moments, Grant.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Before we get to that, given that we've already played Take a Run at the Sun, which came from the soundtrack to the film, Grace of My Heart, we'll play Gas Food Lodging, the soundtrack album Jay Maskus had a big hand in doing. Well, he actually scored a fair bit of the film, and quite a few of those instrumental pieces popped up on the soundtrack, including this, a simply untitled piece.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, Greg Sage from the Wipers is like one of the biggest influences. Him and Ron Ashton from the Stooges, and then Mick Taylor and Keith Richards I was like really into too. Those four are kind of like I, you know, tried to rip off to make my own style.
Every time I hear the footsteps of a song I thought was you, I know life was overrated. Before you walked in through my door, you're so shiny, you're so
again, another piece which Jay Maskus wrote for the soundtrack to Grace of My Heart, Don't You Think It's Time, and before that, an instrumental piece from the soundtrack to Gas Food Lodging, both of those films directed by Alison Anders, and she got Jay Maskus to contribute music for the films.
If I saw you now, could I look in your
oh.
Do You Love Me Now, Junior, the Jay Maskus remix of the Breeders' track of Do You Love Me Now. Did I need to say that? I don't think so. Just past midnight, another hour of the Jay Maskus J-Files to come. Plenty more in store. We're going to try to touch base with Jeremiah, who is hard at work, actually. It'll be about 10 a.m. where he is on the east coast of the United States. He runs a website dedicated to Jay Maskus. It's called freakscene.net. We're trying to touch base with him. Also, you'll hear a fantastic guitar solo, which Jay Maskus did for a Mike Watt album, and they're doing a terrific version of Maggot Brain. Anyway, that's to come. Plenty more. I caught up with Jay Maskus as well just a week or so ago and had a chat to him on the phone about his latest solo album, so you'll hear excerpts of that interview as well.